What? Are you blind? When you hear someone say that, when you think about that, what are you, blind? Where do we hear that probably the most? I mean, you obviously don't walk up to somebody with a physical challenge, am I right? And say, what are you, blind? Where do we hear that? It's a common phrase. What, are you blind? Where do we hear it? Come on. Because we love officials. Am I right? Right? What, are you blind? I mean, baseball is probably the most notorious one. What, are you blind, ump? That was outside. That was low. That was high. That was foul. That was fair. What, are you blind? Those face-to-face, nose-to-nose arguments between managers and players and umpires, it starts so often with this idea of, what, are you blind? And as I thought about this passage, I sometimes think, what, are we blind? What, are we blind? Because so often I hear people, I hear myself say, God, where are you? God, what's going on in this world? God, what's going on in my life? God, why don't you show yourself? And I can hear God so often saying, and people around me saying, Paul, what, are you blind? What, are you blind, Paul? You see, we all talk a good game. Much like baseball, again, we talk a good game. We say things like this, verses 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. And teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. We say that we want to be guided. We say that we want to be shown. We want to be taught, and yet so often we stand in our lives and we say, where are you, God? We sing songs and we talk about seeking God and hearing God. And you always say, where are you? And I hear people and I hear God with this sad voice saying, what, are you blind? Because as we live our lives, God continually wants to teach us, to guide us, to show us. And we talk about it, we just struggle to live it. This is so true that even our technological world is aware of our human nature. That we don't like to be led, that we don't like to be taught, that we don't like to be shown the way. What do I mean? When GPS first came out, and the whole idea of having this little computer thing that would sit in your car and say, turn left at the next corner, turn right at the next corner, that would map out a route for you, how to get from point A to point B. The original design was very logical. Simply put, you would program in, I want to go from A to B. And that computer would give you the most logical, direct, efficient route. But what they found out was people don't like that. People don't like to be told what to do. And so the engineers and the designers said, you know what? we need to do this in a way in which people can have options. And so, again, if you remember, it says turn right, and you don't turn right. What does it then say? Recalculating. Right? Recalculating. So when you're driving down the road and it says turn right 300 feet, and in your mind you go, yeah, that thing doesn't know nothing. I'm going my way. I'm going to turn up here on the next street. It recalculates. We don't like to be told. And yet we say it here in Psalms. We say it throughout our lives. Show me your ways. Teach me. Guide me. Teach me. You're my hope. And sadly, God goes, I'm trying to show you. I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to guide you. I'm trying to give you hope, but what? Are you blind? We're always trying to recalculate instead of trusting. Instead of trusting, I in you trust. You're my God, the only one. The good thing is that in many ways, God is blind. We can look to God, we can look to Jesus, and we can say, what, are you blind? And unlike the way we say it to an umpire or to an official, where we're really upset with them, we should be able to look up and say, what, are you blind? Thank you. Thank you so much for being blind. What do I mean? If you read further on in this psalm, it says in verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs perfect people. No. Therefore, he instructs those who are completely obedient. No. Good and upright. And so he instructs those who have paid or served enough or earned enough points. No. It says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners. You see, we say, Lord, guide me. Lord, show me your way. Teach me your way. And then we go ahead and recalculate because we don't like what God has to say. And God cries out, what, are you blind? And he weeps. But he doesn't give up. Even though we're sinners, even though we're always trying to recalculate, even though we think we know what is best, God instructs sinners in his ways. God is blind. And we should be thankful every day. Jesus is blind. And we should be thankful every day because he continues, regardless of us recalculating, to reach out to us as sinners and love us and guide us and direct us. As it says in Romans, while we were yet sinners, he died, the Lord's table, he died for us. Not when we got perfect, not when we had all the answers. While we were yet sinners, he gave us the gift of his love. And even though we are sinners, he continues to say, I've got the direction, I've got the path, I've got the hope, I've got the teaching for you. Here it is. And if we would stop hitting recalculate, we might see for the first time. Again, that second part is probably the toughest part. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of His covenant. You see, part of this journey is our willingness to be humble. Our willingness to be humble. Why do we recalculate? Because we know what's best. Why don't we listen to the people who are driving in the car next to us who say, oh, there's really a better way. No, that's the way I've always gone. We need to get in touch with our humility. And when we get in touch with our humility, then we understand that God is the one who wants to guide and direct, that God has good things intended for our lives, and that we can let go and let God drive. When we come to this place called church, not because of what we get, but because of what we give. When we serve, not because of the brownie points in heaven in some way we might get, but because we serve. When we collect fans or collect food or feed people, not because look at me, but because humbly we're called to fulfill the covenant. The covenant that says you are blessed in order to be a blessing. The covenant that says love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and understanding. And love your neighbor as you would yourself. Humility. Humility and the ability to turn off that recalculation and trust God. Completely. You see, God sits and looks and says, what are you blind? I love you. I've proven that throughout history. I've walked throughout history with you. I love you. What are you blind? And in turn, we can look and say, what are you blind? Thank you. Thank you for being blind. And ultimately, it's a simple truth in this psalm, verse 15. Verse 15, it says, my eyes are ever on the Lord. My eyes are ever, ever on the Lord. For only He will release my feet from the snare. We go through life. And we get caught all the time. I don't care if you're 5 years old, 10 years old, 20 years old, 50 years old, 80 years old. Throughout our lives, there are traps, there are snares, there are things that capture us. And we think immediately, I can fix it, I will take care of it, I'm the one in charge. And we look immediately at the way to deal with it. And yet Scripture's clear, I will ever keep my eyes on you. Because you're the one who can untangle my feet. We're humble enough to admit that as we face the challenges of life, as we experience the blessings of life, we need to look to the one who wants to lead and guide, because it's there that we will be free to experience life to its fullest. We spend too much time looking down, trying to figure out how to fix everything in our lives. We spend too much time looking around our lives saying, how can we fix the people around us? We look around and we think that we are seeing the things in the correct manner, and yet we're blind. Because the most important thing we can do is keep our eyes on the one who loves us. Keep our eyes on the one who, even though we're sinners, died for us. even though we're sinners, wants to still guide and direct us. We need to be the people who look up instead of down and let God untangle our lives. And in that, begin to see life fully. See, we have a choice to be blind or not to be blind. We have a choice to let God lead or think we can lead. We have a choice to trust in what that GPS says or to always push recalculate because we know better. You see, what are we? Blind? I had something happen this week. And it's something that I have seen portrayed in movies and portrayed in comedy things. And I've always heard about it and talk about it, whatever you want to say. But this week was the first time I ever saw it. I didn't think I ever would. I didn't think it ever really happened. I thought it was just kind of a fantasy kind of thing. And I laughed. And I still am quite honestly laughing about it now. I was at the hospital. I was doing some visiting and some calling. And I was walking out, and I was walking down the hallway, and I thought, you know, I need to use the restroom, so I'm looking for restrooms here and there, you know. And here's the restroom. Okay, good. And as I go to walk in, here comes a doctor out of the restroom. Very nicely dressed. Nice suit coat, nice shoes, nice. You know, nice. I just pictured him getting into his Porsche and driving somewhere nice. Healthcare in America, nice, all right? And, you know, hey, hi, doc, you know? And he walks out of the bathroom, and for whatever reason, I don't know, maybe I like this slacks, I don't know, but I kind of did the, you know, before I walked in, I kind of did the back check, you know? And here goes the doctor walking down the hallway. And he, I'm not lying to you, he has a piece of toilet paper this long stuck to his shoe coming out of his pants. And he's like, he's walking down there saying, I am somebody, I'm something. And he's got toilet paper the whole way. And I'm laughing. So I get to the restroom, and I'm going to leave the hospital. And out of the corner of my eye, as I walk by the place where families and their loved ones wait for the people having surgery, here's this doctor sitting next to this family doing his doctor thing. He looks really good doing his doctor thing. And his toilet paper is still stuck to his foot. And I think one of the people was doing this. I laughed. It's the first time I've ever happened in real life. What, are we blind? I mean, let's be honest. As we live our lives, all of us have some toilet paper caught to our foot every now and then. And we continually think we can manage everything, we can do everything, but ultimately we're blind. And we need to look up. And we need to let Jesus put our life together. And we need to let God focus our leading and our guiding. And we need to trust in that direction. And we need to believe in His goodness and His love. And we got to practice what we preach, which is, oh, God guides my life. Oh, God directs my life. Oh, God. Well, then guess what? Do it. Got to stop recalculating. And we got to stop, and we got to start thinking about how amazing God is. That even though we're sinners, even though we push that recalculation, even though we think we know better, even though there's toilet paper stuck to our foot, He loves us and wants to guide our lives. When we're ready to let go and let Him.